Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, Beware of the Name Changer. And I want to ask, how important are names for people and things according to God? What has the popular modern society and non-believers done with names for most modern movements? Is it dangerous to misname things?
Grace to you and peace and joy from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today I'd like to talk with you about names and about getting the right name for everything, the right label for everything. Do you think that's an important thing for us to do, or does it not matter at all? Actually, it's a very important thing for us to do to have the right name on everything, and the devil knows this very clearly because what he tries to do to trick us and defeat us and to throw the world into chaos and confusion is to misname everything that God has first named. He gives it the opposite name. And so today I'd like to talk with you about names and the importance of them and what God would teach us about that. Names and labels, and about the misnaming of things by the enemy. What's God teach us about that in his word? Well, first of all, let me ask you a question. Are names important? Is it important to get the right name on everything? You know, a lot of people say no. Just like Juliet, remember? What's in a name? A rose by any other name would smell as sweet. And little children say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. So a lot of people don't think names really mean much, but actually God says they're very important. And let's take a look at that in Scripture and see where that is. For example, in the very beginning when God created the world, it says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So what's God doing at the very first thing in creation? After he creates it, he's naming things, right? Giving them names. And on the second day, he said the same thing. God called the firmament heaven, and there was evening and morning a second day. So God's naming things. How about the very first thing in the next chapter God gives Adam to do? What does he do? Name the animals. He brings them to him, and whatever Adam called them, that was its name. Very powerful and important thing. Parents have the special privilege of giving names to their children, right? And the world sometimes treats this like a joke. And I'll share a little off-color thing from when I was sailing on a schooner in the Caribbean. The chief science officer or scientist aboard, his name was Professor Harding, and he actually named his daughter Laurel Ann. You get it? Laurel and Harding. And so for the rest of her life, she's saddled with a name that's a joke. But you know what? In truth, God would never do such a thing. Names are very, very important. And just like we see in the Bible, the saints have always treated it very seriously. Like Rachel, when she was giving birth to her last son, it says, as her soul was departing, for she died in the childbirth, she called his name Benoni, which means son of my sorrow. But his father, that's Jacob, called his name Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. So in the Bible, names carry the essence of the thing. They're very, very important. God renamed Abram Abraham, which means father of many nations, renamed Sarah, gave her the name Sarah, mother of many nations. God names his angels. Did you know that? Gabriel, his name means God is my strength. Beautiful name, right? And even Satan, the devil, has a name. Satan, when translated, means adversary, he who stands against you, he who stands against. So names, far from being unimportant, are super important with God, that you get the right name for everything, and the best name of all, Jesus Christ. For the angel Gabriel spoke to Mary and said, you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua in the Hebrew, for he will save his people from their sins. What's the name Jesus mean? It means Savior. Isn't that beautiful? And it's so powerful, the Bible says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So names are super important to get it right, what God has called it. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think it's dangerous then to misname things, to give them the wrong name and put a false label on stuff? Would that be dangerous? Well, just imagine if you were to go, you're sick and you go to the pharmacist. Would you go to a pharmacist that just takes all his bottles and puts any label on them that he wants to? If he takes a bottle of poison and slaps on it medicine, would you trust this guy? That could kill you. Or if you late one night have a knock at the door and you hear someone say, I'm the police, open up, but it's a burglar talking to you, but he's just giving you the wrong name, that could kill you. Or let's say a young, beautiful girl is growing up in her household, but her father constantly tells her, your name is fat and ugly. That's what he calls her. Could that really destroy the girl's life? It sure could. How about if a son grows up and his father always calls him loser? Could that destroy his life? Sure could. So is it important to get the right name on things? Absolutely. A wrong name is disastrous and can kill you. And I'll tell you, the devil knows this. And therefore, his chief strategy, one of them, is to misname everything, put the wrong label on it in order to defeat the saints and discourage you, and to throw the whole world into chaos and confusion to kill it. And so let's take a look at where that happens in the scripture. For example, way back here in Genesis, once again, God said that to Adam, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden. What's that? Freedom over them. What does the devil come along and say to them? He says to Eve, did God really say you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? Do you notice that? He leaves out the word freely. So it's no longer freedom. He makes it look like to Eve she's in prison, right? God's holding out on you. And so he starts to sow that into her mind. He turns the word freedom from God into prison. And then when she starts to take the bait, and she says, well, we just can't eat of that tree, lest we die. The serpent said to the woman, you will not die. But God knows, in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. In other words, what did God call the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Ultimately, it was death to them, right? But the devil says, no, the name of that tree is life. God's holding out on it. If you eat of that tree, you're going to live and you're going to know and be wise like God. And so he's changing the names. Freedom is now a prison. And life is death is now life. Life, death, freedom, prison, interchanging them, throwing them all around, stewing them up, and she's confused, enters into chaos, eats of the apple, or whatever the fruit was, and dies. And so does Adam. So would you say names are very important? He's turning things around, mislabeling them to defeat them and to throw the world into chaos. Let me ask you a question then. Has the devil been doing this throughout history? Look at the Old Testament. These guys were totally confused. And therefore God rebuked them with these words in Isaiah chapter 5. He says to his people, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. What were the people doing in the Old Testament days? Did they buy the devil's lie? Yeah. When God says this is good, the people says, no, we call that evil. When God says this is evil, they say, no, we call it good. And God says, this is, how did it go? Where is that verse? Isaiah 5. Come on, where is it? When God says this is bitter, they called it sweet. When God said this is sweet, they called it bitter. As God says then in Ezekiel, he says, you turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay? In other words, God's the potter, they're the clay, but they were calling God the clay, and we're the potter. You're turning things upside down, misnaming things, throwing them into chaos. This is the devil's handiwork in the hearts of men. Ezekiel 18, God says to his people, "You say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not just? Is it not your ways that are unjust?" Just, unjust. The devil goes, whoop, the quick switcheroo, and the people buy it, and they go off into what? Sin, which ultimately leads them to death. He's aiming to destroy by misnaming things, mislabeling them. Therefore, in 1 Kings 18, remember that story? King Ahab was a good or a bad king? The most wicked of all, basically. And he meets Elijah. And the king says, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" he says to Elijah. And Elijah says, "No, you're the troubler of Israel, you and your whole household, because you're leading the people to go astray from God after the Baals, the false gods." So notice the misnaming there. You're the trouble. No, you're the troubler. Switch. It's all over the place. The devil's throwing it all around. God says in Isaiah 5, "Your heroes at drinking wine and valiant men in drinking strong drink." But that's not a hero, is it? That's not a valiant man. And they even in those days were calling God Baal. Can you believe that? The Holy One of Israel, they called after the false, evil God of the Canaanites. For God says in Hosea 2, "In the day when I act, says the Lord, you will no longer call me my Baal, but you'll call me my husband. For I'll remove the names of the Baals from your mouth, and they shall be mentioned by name no more." So our name's super important. And what's the devil doing all through history? Switcheroo, mislabeling it, slapping the wrong thing on it in order to throw the people into confusion, chaos, defeat, and to destroy them. And therefore God said in Jeremiah, "An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule at their discretion, saying, you know, peace, peace, when there is no peace." Wrong label. They said peace. God said it's war. "My people love to have it so," says God. "But what will you do when the end comes? When you've bitten into that poison fruit, mislabeled, what are you going to do in the end? It's going to kill you by believing a wrong name. And so you went away into sin." So here, now let's get kind of juicy. How about today in our day and age? Do we have mislabeling of things? Are things labeled the opposite of what God has labeled them and called them? Let's go through several examples here. How about evolution? If you're in a university or even grade school today, they teach it. The name for that is fact. They no longer even call it a theory. Like Richard Dawkins, that professor from England, he says, "Evolution is a fact in the same sense that it's a fact the earth revolves around the sun." It's a fact, in other words, that is indisputable that the earth evolved out of nothing. Came into existence by chance. Nothing created everything. All things came to be by laws that nobody set up. That's even ridiculous, isn't it? And yet it's called fact, and it's against the law to teach that there's a creator. But what does God say about that name, fact? He says the real name for that is fiction. It's totally make-believe. God says in the scriptures, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And to those who want to deny that, he says in Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the world?" You know, all these scientists, "Where were you when I was setting up and laying the foundations of the earth and determined its measurements and stretched the line upon it? And when all the morning stars sang together and shouted to God for joy, where were you in that day?" God says, get it right. The name for evolution, macroevolution, big evolution, is fiction, not fact. Don't buy into that one. And Richard Dawkins, even that professor I mentioned, when he was interviewed by Ben Stein on the movie Expelled, and Ben Stein asked him, remember this, if you've seen this, "Where did the earth come from then with all of its super intelligent design?" And Dawkins answered, "Well, maybe aliens. You know, little green men created it. But it can't be God." So God says, get the right name on it. It's fiction. Evolution is fiction. Don't fall for that one. Let's look at another label that's out there, very popular in the world today. If you talk about abortion, which is a big topic, what's the name for that? What's the label? Yeah, choice. Pro-choice, a woman's right to choose. Does that sound good? Sure does. I'm for choice, I'm for rights, I'm for women. Those all sound wonderful, rights and choice and freedom and wonderful. But what is this really saying? Is that a wrong name? Is that a wrong label? What's God say in the Bible? He says, before I formed you in the womb, Jeremiah, I knew you. I consecrated you a prophet to the nations. God knows us, friends, so amazingly. He knows us before he even makes us in the womb. And then David says in Psalm 139, you knit me together in my mother's womb. You knit me together, my inward parts. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So the Bible, God says, this is my workman. This is my workshop. I'm in there working and putting it together. And it is a lie to say that it's pro-choice to just destroy my workshop. Whenever I talk with someone, by the way, who's pro-choice, pro-abortion, pro-woman's right to do, etc., I don't let them just end there. Have you ever gotten a conversation like this? Make them finish the sentence. A woman's right to do what? Pro-choice to do what? To abort. What's abort mean? To end something that's going on. What's going on? Life in her womb. What is going on in the womb? Her son and her daughter. And then you rephrase it to them. Does a woman have the right to end the life of her son or daughter? Usually most people say no, but they've never thought about it because the wrong label has thrown them into confusion and chaos. It sounds good, but it's going to kill in the end. And 59 million children have suffered the death for it since 1973 Roe v. Wade. But you say, well, how about, isn't it just her body? Well, it's a different DNA. It's a different blood type. It's a different fingerprint. It's possibly a different gender. It's a different life. This is your son. And as Christians, we affirm life. We don't affirm death. So God says, that's the wrong label to put on this one. The real label for this is murder. So don't fall for it. Don't fall for that one. Ready for another one? These are all juicy, aren't they? How about the whole gay marriage thing that's been going on in our recent years? And what's the slogan for that one again? Remember that? Love wins. That's the label that's been slapped on it. Love wins. Is that a good label? Is that wrong? Well, I'm all for love, and I'm all for it winning, right? Love wins. Sounds good to me. But then you get behind that label. Is that really the right label for this? When the Supreme Court made it law of our land in 2015 and the White House was lit up in all the rainbow colors, I'm for rainbows. I think they're pretty. I like rainbows. God says I like rainbows too, but that's the wrong use of it. He says that's my covenant between myself and Noah and the earth, that I won't flood the world again. In heaven, that's the bow that goes around God's throne in heaven. He says, what right have you to take my bow and put it for these purposes? For what's God say about these things? He says in Leviticus 20, verse 13, if a man lies with a male, as with a woman, both of them have committed abomination, they shall be put to death and their blood is upon them. That sounds pretty serious. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, etc., will inherit the kingdom of God. So God says that's a false name. Love wins. That's a deadly name. Love will win. But it's not the way they're thinking about it's going to win, so don't fall for that one either. Let's go to another one here. How about the gender issues? Boy, I saw something even this week. Do you know that in the University of Minnesota, just this last week, I saw the article, they're no longer having any homecoming kings and queens. Did you see this? They're just called royals now. Because the name man and woman or king and queen is offensive. Do you see how this goes way back to the very beginning? Misnaming of what God has said. They say the opposite. God says man and woman. That's the label. What are we saying now? Man is now woman and woman is now man. And the Boy Scouts recently, just this last month, said that if you're a girl, but you identify as a boy, you can join the Boy Scouts, and you know, you're sleeping in the same tent, you're using the same latrines, and all this stuff. If you're a girl, but you think you're a boy, you can join as a boy in the Boy Scouts, and these are the people teaching morals to the children. Do you see, if you misname something, chaos is the result of it. How do we get Bruce Jenner being the woman of the year in 2016? Bruce is the woman of the year. What does God say about these things? God says, I created man in my image. In the image of God, I created him. Male and female, I created them. Male and female. And God is so stresses in the Bible to keep that as a beautiful but distinct separation. He even says in Deuteronomy 22, a woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. What chaos ensues from just switching the names around. And boy, the whole world's in confusion right now. And ultimately, death. God says it's male and female. Be your gender. One more. Last one. Since I'm on a roll anyway, right? How about global warming? You know how much of a scare that's put into people? The words global warming. When I was in the 1970s, when you guys were having your grandchildren, your children, right? We had some ice, like storms in Connecticut, and everybody was freaking out about the new ice age that's coming. We're all going to die. The world's going to freeze. And then in the 1980s, it got warmer, and people said, global warming, we're all going to burn up. And then a couple years later, Al Gore was having his global warming talk in one of the colleges in Vermont, and they were warning people to stay away because of the freezing temperatures. And so now they're like, climate change. The name changed again. Look at the confusion. Can we all just agree the climate's changing, that it's just changing every day? Let's call it climate change. That'll be easier. But there's so much fear, so much scare about this. God says that's just a false label. Don't believe that. You know what God says in his word? Genesis 8 to Noah, he said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. It's a promise. God says the world's not going to die because of global warming or because of ice age. Don't be afraid of that. Don't let this mislabeling deceive you and make you afraid. Of course, we do believe in global warming ultimately, don't we? Peter says in his letter, by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist have been stored up for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. That's a real climate change, wouldn't you say? But that's not what they're talking about here. So God says names, don't be misfooled by them. I name them this, you declare what they actually are. Otherwise, you're going to be defeated, discouraged, thrown into confusion. And note, by the way, if you disagree with any of these politically correct words that we've been talking about today because you believe God's word, the scriptures, what happens? They start calling you names, right? They're name callers at that point. They start saying, and this is through the evil one, really. He says, you're a hater. You are a radical, a fanatic. You are narrow-minded, arrogant, religious, extremist. But I say, who's the hater? Because I'm praying for my enemies, for their salvation, loving them. And you, because I disagree, are screaming at me. And then, why do you call me a radical, fanatic, religious, extremist? Just because I believe the scriptures, God's word. God would say of such a person, no, that person's name is faithful and true. And who's the narrow-minded one? When I believe what God's laid down in his word. Because, you know what? Our eyes are open to our Savior. Our ears are open to his word. Our hearts are open to his gospel. God says, that's open-minded, the kind I love, that you're open to me. But as for the world that claims to be open-minded, they're really narrow-minded, for their eyes they've closed to my Son, their ears to my word, their hearts to my gospel, lest they should turn for me to heal them, which is what God loves to do. So God says, beware the name changer, the name switcher, the shapeshifter, the chameleon, the devil, for Jesus says he's a liar and the father of lies. He's a liar from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there's no truth in him, and he wants to kill, for he's a murderer as well. And Paul says Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. All his names sound so good. But so it's not strange if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. So in conclusion here, how do we conquer these things? We conquer these and keep a clear mind and joy in our hearts by confessing things as God has named them. I confess that I am loved and joyful today, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. I am honored, that's my name, for God says he who thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. And we have a beautiful name. God says you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, my own people, called out of darkness into my marvelous light, that you may declare my deeds. And we have new names, forgiven, redeemed, loved, people of the truth, blessed, saints, inheritors of the kingdom to come. These are the names God wants you to lay hold of and not be deceived by the misnaming that the devil puts out there. He only does it to destroy. But we have a king whose name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, whose name is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Beware of the Name Changer, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier, and if you're looking for a church home, or if you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services this week, we have a Maundy Thursday night service at 7 p.m., a Good Friday service also at 7 p.m. Our Easter Sunday services are 9 and 11 a.m. at the church, with a 7 a.m. Easter sunrise service at Shepherd Park. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages or leave a comment on this one, please visit our website at Christ Lutheran Church, CapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.